in the gospel, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. Title of the message today is The Message of the Resurrection. The Message of the Resurrection. What does the resurrection mean to you? What should it mean to you? Let's start. Heavenly Father, I need your help. I need your anointing. I need you to help me to share this in a way that's clear and simple, that everybody that will hear this message will understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. When you find it, you can stand with me. You need to stretch anyway, verses 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, that would have been before daylight, probably around 4 a.m., I wrote in my side margin. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You may be seated. Hey, shake hands before you sit down with somebody, huh? Before our Lord went to the cross, he had predicted his suffering, his persecution, and even his death. But yet there were many that didn't understand it, much alone understanding the resurrection as well. They were heartbroken, they were hopeless, and they were helpless, the disciples. They didn't believe the reports they heard from the ladies. They were unable to accept his resurrection until they saw the Lord for themselves. When they finally realized that Jesus had risen from the dead, their lives were changed. They went from cowering in fear to proclaiming the gospel, a powerful message. The message of the resurrection assures us, and these are things I want us to leave with today to remember. What is the resurrection? What does it mean to us as Christians? The first thing, the first point is Jesus is alive. He's alive. Some would just view him as some biblical character. I remember one of the news journalists referred to him as a historical figure, a historical Jesus. I bet if he came back from the dead, he'd have a different viewpoint. I remember hearing him say he was the historical Jesus. Others thought he was just a good man. Others said he was a prophet. But to us as Christians, he was more than a prophet. He was the Son of God, the very Son of God. He is alive. He's one who advocates for us when we sin in 1 John 2:1. He is in the presence of the Father. He intercedes for us. Romans 8:34, song that Scotty sings a lot. He ever interceding for us. He's interceding. His Spirit lives within us, gives us the power to live a godly life, John 14, 16, and 17. And we know that he left when he told his disciples, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also." He wants us to be with him. He desires fellowship. The second point is, we are forgiven. Jesus is alive, but we're forgiven. Reminds me of a passage of scripture that I like to read that I marked in 1 Corinthians. Actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about resurrection. If you want to know what it's going to be like when you die and you get your new body, read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A lot of information in that chapter. And so Paul begins to address it, talking about those who fall asleep. Of course, he's referring to death. As Christians, we just simply fall asleep to awake to a new life, a new beginning. And that's what he's saying here in the very beginning. And so I'm going on down to verse 12 is where I should come in. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testify of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. And if so be that, the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ not be rise, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Wow, what a mouthful. How about that? There's a lot there. I could just preach just from that. A lot of things. We wouldn't have our sins be forgiven. We wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't be enjoying Easter if there was no resurrection. It's very important to us as Christians. Very important. A lot of things recorded in the scriptures for us, but I can tell you the cross and the resurrection are probably the two of the main ingredients of the scripture. The cross and the resurrection. Both of them, very, very powerful. Third point, we're going to live forever. Forever is a long time. I think about this passage of our life here. Mother used to tell me, oh, life goes so fast. Don't wish your life away. And at that time, my life couldn't go fast enough. I was in school, and I didn't really like school, so I couldn't go fast enough. And she'd always say, don't wish your life away. It goes fast enough. And Mom, you were right. It does go fast. This life here is very short. Very, very short. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. John 11:25. Yes, as believers, we do die. We die physically just like everybody else. In fact, Hebrews says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Are you ready? You don't need to be afraid to die. There were several that I talked to, I knew several that was afraid to die. And when I heard that, I went and visited them, and I wanted them to be sure and certain that they never needed to have to fear death. I wanted them to know, don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid to die. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to get it right. Make your reservation so you don't have to have a fear of death. We think, well, I still make mistakes and I still sin. Yes, we all do. But get it right with God. He's ever forgiving. He's ever interceding for you. Make your arrangements. Get to know Jesus as your Savior so you'll have the peace that passes all understanding. And it doesn't matter what happens in life because you'll be ready. You'll be ready. I have no fear of death. I remember hearing a sermon one time, a preacher said, you're all ready to go to heaven. They all raise their hand. He says, okay, we're going to get ready to go. How many of you are ready to go? Well, we knew what he was meaning. I'm not just ready to go just this minute, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. We have a lot to look forward to. Life here is been good, and sometimes we have difficult things that go on in our life. But I got more people on the other side than I used to have on this side. And it's that way when you get older. You have more people in heaven than you have here. And I remember my grandpa sitting on the couch looking at the paper and the obituaries, and he was in his hundreds then. He lived to be 106, but he was around 100, somewhere around there, when he was telling me. He says, "Why don't he call me home?" He said, "My friends are all gone. I don't have anybody else here. My friends are all gone." And he was right. I'm sure he felt different. When your generation is gone, and all you are is around the new generation that you can associate with, there's nothing that you can associate with, because it's so different in the next generation. He was homesick for heaven. And I remember he looked at me and he, "Why don't he call me home?" And I didn't always know what to say, but I guess the Lord gave me the right thing that day. I said, "Grandpa, you're so hard of hearing. He's called lots of times and you didn't hear him." I'm serious. That's just what came out of my mouth. You know, it might not have been right, but it was right for me. I didn't know what else to say, and it was there, so I spit it out. And he was hard of hearing. Really bad. Really bad hard of hearing. And God finally took him home in 106. We will have a resurrected body. You want to know what kind of body you're going to have? You just study about Jesus' body when he came back. Just study about him and watch what he did. Because we're going to have a body just like his. Just like it. He said so. He ate. They were out fishing. And he already had breakfast and on the shore. And he called out to them, "Hey, did you catch anything?" He knew they didn't catch a thing. He knew that. He wanted their response. Because he knew what they were supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be fishers of men, not fishing. He wanted them to be fishers of men. "Hey, did you get any fish?" Just put it on the other side. Put it on the other side. What else can we do? We tried everything else. We might as well just do what he said. Put it on the other side. You couldn't pull the net in for the fish. And then when that happened, they knew who it must be. And it said Peter jumped right in the water and started swimming to shore because he knew who it must be, Jesus. By that time, he recognized who he was. And he couldn't get to the shore fast enough. We're going to have a new body. Jesus looked just as human as he always did. There was one change. He was glorified. There was a brilliance and a brightness about him. Probably why he wasn't readily recognized, because of the brilliance. He was glorified. He'd already been to heaven. Wow. The disciples touched him. He had a body that he could touch. Did you know he still had all his scars? You see, the first occasion, Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas made the remark that, "I won't believe unless I see him." So Jesus came back a second time to them, and this time Thomas was there. And Jesus said to Thomas, "Here, behold my hands. My hands." He said, "See the scars from the nails? Oh, and Thomas, put your hand in my side here. You feel that wound where the soldier put a spear in my side? Put your hand there." He had all his scars. And by the way, he had the scars on his back too. Every scar he received, he still has them. There's a beautiful song that says the only scars in heaven are the ones that are in the hands that hold you now. What a beautiful song. You ever hear that? That's a beautiful song. The only scars in heaven are in the hands that hold you now. We'll have new bodies. We'll be able to pass through doors and walls just like Jesus did. He just appeared right through the wall. He was there. And just that quickly, he was gone. Pretty much like a thought, gone. And we'll be able to be the same way. Another point I want you to know is heaven is our home. That'll be our new address, heaven. We'll live forever in perfect existence. A paradise, much like the Lord intended in the Garden of Eden. Very much similar. Tree of life will be there. We're told in the book of Revelation, the tree of life is there. Very much like the Garden of Eden, but in all its purity and beauty. We'll reign with Christ forever in our glorified bodies. We'll serve, love, and worship, and praise him. We don't know all what we'll experience in eternity, but I can tell you that each and every one of us can look forward and enjoying the activity in our Lord's presence. I'll tell you what will be exciting is seeing our loved ones again. Wow. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's my next point. That's my last point. We will see our loved ones. Relationships are very important to God. The Bible tells us that husbands are to love their wives as he loved the church and gave himself for it. Children are a blessing from the Lord and are to honor their parents so that their days on earth will be long. Christians are to love and care for others. God created these relationships, so why wouldn't it make sense that we will know our loved ones in eternity? The disciples recognized Jesus after they believed he had resurrected and was risen from the dead. It says that we won't be given in marriage in Matthew 22:30. Perhaps God will allow us our relationships to continue and develop in eternity. I don't know. It's just that we won't be given in marriage. We'll know our loved ones in a different way. We'll know they're our loved ones. And we'll know our spouse in a different way, just not in a marital way. I don't know how that's going to work. God's given us a new body, and with it comes a new mind, I would assume. There's certain things that'll be new, and there'll be certain things that we'll still know one another as we were known here. It's interesting. God can pick and choose what he wishes to do for us. There'll be no sadness and sickness and death in heaven. We'll be happy for a long, long time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not a believer, you won't have the assurance that you'll be with the Lord when you die. Maybe perhaps you're listening by way of the internet and you can't be sure that you know Jesus as your Savior. You don't have that peace. So I pray that today you will accept Jesus as your Savior. Surrender your life to him. And allow Christ, through the power of the Spirit, to live a life that's pleasing to him. So that when your final hour comes, you'll be ready to meet your Maker. There's certainly no greater security in life than to know you'll spend eternity with your Heavenly Father. So if you don't have that peace, I pray that today, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believe he came and died for you, and then confess your sins, and then have a desire to live for him for the rest of your life until he calls you home. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity I had today to share your precious word. I pray for anyone today that has made that prayer. I pray that you'll continue to live and serve him all the rest of the days of your life, and I pray the peace of God that passes all understanding you'll be able to have to the day he calls you home. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here today. We ask the Lord to be with each and every one until we come back again. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen. Lord bless you. Happy Easter.